I cannot make a significant difference in this world.
And I refuse to believe that my actions can impact the lives of those around me.
I know without a doubt that God has not given me anything to offer.
It's foolish to think that what I do with my time and resources matters.
I possess something the world needs is a lie.
My life is of little consequence.
All of this is true unless I allow God to reverse my thinking.
My life is of little consequence is a lie. I possess something the world needs.
What I do with my time and resources matters.
It is foolish to think that God has not given me anything to offer.
I know without a doubt that my actions can impact the lives of those around me.
And I refuse to believe that I cannot make a significant difference in this world.
All right, welcome to part three of our series, Be Rich. And as we begin this installment, let me just say right here, as we always like to do, a warm welcome to those that join us every week online. We're so glad you are here. We consider you a part of our church. Come on, everybody, give some love, right, to those that are here via technology. So thankful. Our series, Be Rich, some of you may, as you look at that title, may think that it means something that it doesn't. It's not what you think. In fact, some of you may look at that and say, well, this is about being rich. I'm not, so I'll just set this one out. But actually, when we understand, unpack really what this idea of being rich is, and we define it, we understand that really we're all rich and that God has blessed all of us, especially here in America. We are tremendously blessed, and we have been blessed in so many different ways. And having understood that, and as we've discussed this, we need to also look at what our response is to that. How then should we respond to this area, this idea of being rich? So we've talked about some of the whys in this arena of being rich, and that with those come some responsibilities. We've talked about how that we need to make a difference in this world. If we've been blessed, then we're not just blessed to be blessed. We have been blessed to be a blessing. Amen, everybody? And in fact, making a difference, that's one of the four things we really emphasize here at Crosspoint. We want people to know God. We want people to find freedom and discover their purpose. And then once you understand what your purpose is, get on a team, come on, and together we're making a difference. And so this thing of being rich really goes right along with that. It's also a theme that we try to emphasize this time of year. There's a lot of, it's supposed to be a season of getting, but as you know, a lot of times it's a season about getting. Anybody go out on Black Friday? I mean, just saying, you were there Thursday on Thanksgiving, but Friday was not about giving, it was about getting, right? And it's like, how quick and how fast can I get there and be the first one in line, or the 199th person in line? Whatever that looked like, where you go. Now anymore, it's just going online to get your stuff. And some of you do that. You know, tomorrow's Cyber Monday, right? So it's coming. Your opportunity is still there. But it's a season of getting and giving, but it needs to be all about the season of giving. That is the nature of God. He is a giving God. When we come into faith and relationship with Him, that nature becomes our nature as well. You know, when you find something good that's just priceless, you can't wait to share it with somebody else, something that's just so wonderful. It's just, one person in the Bible said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I've got to tell somebody else about it, right? Have you ever had those experiences where you just can't wait to get to tell somebody else about it? In fact, it's not quite as great of an experience when you have to experience it by yourself, because you're thinking the whole time, oh, I wish so-and-so was here to experience this. It's so wonderful. Well, that's the way it is with how we've been blessed. We're blessed, and it is a blessing for us to be able to bless others. So I want to talk about that area today as we talk about the idea of being rich. And really, the definition of that is that we have more than we need. And you think, well, no, I don't have enough. Well, there may be some area in your life, if you stop and really analyze different areas of your life, where we have more than we need compared especially to the rest of the world. And so we're blessed, but I want to talk about how then there's the outflow of that. There's an overflow of that. And so I want to change gears a little bit. We've talked some about the whys, talked about that last week. And so I invite you, if you didn't get to hear that last week, to go online. That's archived there for you to listen to again. And you can follow along. There's message notes each week that you can follow along. And by the way, let me just say here to those watching online, message notes are available for today's message. Got a lot of blanks for you today. Those are for those of you in-house. You can pull those out of your worship guide. And there's some blanks there. We're going to just fill in here and let you just take some notes as we follow along with this. So we're going to change gears from the why, though. We're going to talk a little bit more about the how and what this looks like as far as us, that we are rich and blessed, and so God's called us to be a blessing. So we're going to talk about being rich in good deeds. I want to pick it up from 1 Timothy, and where Paul is really talking to Timothy, and he's helping Timothy navigate, helping him help people be a blessing. And he says to Timothy, he says to command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, or to put their hope in wealth. And that's so easy to do when you get something and you get a good job, or you get some increase and you just start kind of getting a dependency on that thing and you start trusting and putting your hope in that, because that is really very uncertain. But he instructs them to encourage people, which I'm doing for you today, to put your hope in God, who, look at this, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So I think if you have something, I don't think God wants you to feel guilty about having stuff. It's okay. God doesn't mind you having stuff. It's just when stuff has you. Right? There's a difference. And so he doesn't mind you enjoying stuff, but with that stuff, he gave you that stuff, those things, that whatever he's blessed you with for a reason. He wants you to enjoy it, but it goes further than that. Look at verse 18. He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. So there's that series title, Be Rich. And then he says, in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. We talked about that last week, about how it's all about the heart or our willingness. There's not a manipulation from exterior sources, but rather there's an internal motivation of the heart. God has changed us on the inside. And there's a desire to be a giver. There's a desire to bless others, willing to share. And verse 19 says, in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. Look at this. So that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So we're not just existing and going through the motions and this meaningless exercise of going to work every day, earning an income, coming home, going to bed, eating supper, going to bed, get up, go through it all again, beating ourselves against the wall, just trying to get rid of some debts. You know, a couple things that are certain in life? Taxes and dying, right? I mean, you know, and it's going through this meaningless motion. No, there's more to that. Through this way that God has given to us, the hope is that you'll take hold of that which is truly life, not just existing. So there's an idea of you're blessed, but the question is, what for? What for? And how are you living life? How do you view it? And how rich are we in? How are we rich in good deeds? And where do we stand? Are we rich in good deeds? I mean, like, what level are we in good deeds? Are we wealthy? Are we among the wealthy? Right? It says, command those that are wealthy. Are we wealthy in good deeds? Are we middle class in good deeds? Are we lower class? Come on, are we in the poverty level of good deeds? Where are we in the arena of good deeds? How wealthy are we in serving others? How wealthy are we in noticing others? How wealthy are we in blessing our neighbor or our co-worker? And you say, well, does this really matter? I mean, my faith, this thing I have with God, is really a private, personal matter. And really, it's not something that I need to be announcing to other people. Actually, that's not true. Your faith does need to be public. Yes, it is a personal, private decision between you and God. But God has blessed you and saved you for a reason. And that is so that you do impact and you do affect others. That's His calling upon you that He has given to you when He comes into your life. That you are saved not just for yourself, but for others. You're there to serve and to lead others to this thing of faith. So I want to give you something to write down there in a blank there, anywhere you want to on your notes. And write this down. That is that we are not saved by good works. Okay? We are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. Let me show it to you in Scripture. It's found in Ephesians chapter 2 that says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves." So it's not something that you did. It's a gift of God. So we can't puff our chest out and say, well, I'm just a righteous person. I'm just a holy man of God. I'm just holy. I'm holy. I've just got it. No, you're not. No. It's God. It's all God. Our righteousness are as filthy rags before God. But the righteousness of Jesus Christ, God the Father accepts. And God extends to us His righteousness through the sacrifice of His Son. We trade in our filthy rags for His robes of righteousness. It's nothing of our doing. It's all a God thing. It's all a gift. It's been freely given to us. All we've got to do is receive it by faith. It's all the work of Jesus Christ. Come on, that's good news. Somebody give God praise for that truth. It's truth. It's a gift of God. It goes on to say in verse 9, it's not by works, so that no one can boast. It's not through works. It's nothing that we did, so we cannot brag about it. Verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork." This is all God's doing. We're created in Christ Jesus. But look at this. There's a change, shifting of gears here. There's a reason in all this. He says, "To do." Those are two powerful words. To do. To do what? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's prepared. He already has something in mind when He created you. And then when He came and redeemed you and made you His own, He had already prepared in advance what He had for you to do. There is a to-do list for you. There's a divine to-do list with your name on it. That's powerful. There's a to-do list. God has an assignment for each one of us. There's a to-do list. Again, this was God's idea. God loved us when we were unlovable. Right? Amen? He loves us when He loved people when they were nailing Him to the cross. But God's nature is, for God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That was God's idea, not our idea. But God had a second idea. His idea that was He was to redeem us, and then that He was to call us and to choose us for a purpose, to fulfill His mission, to reach and find other people to come to know His saving grace. Amen? And so there is a to-do list, though, of how He wants each and every one of us to do that. And your to-do list may not look like somebody else's to-do list. But there is a to-do list with your name on it, of an area in which you were made for this, that you were born for this, that God had created you for this specific purpose. I mean, some of you, I mean, you all have a unique calling, a unique gift, a unique thing that God's asked you to do. For some of you, it's yard work, right? Some of you breathe soil. You just love soil, right? Come on, I'm not getting any nods right here. You got to be out there somewhere. Some of you dream fertilizer, right? I don't see any. I'm looking for specific people to nod their head on. You dream fertilizer. You express this gift you have through tilling and through weeding and composting. You know, you just compost. It's just one of those, and all those other soil things, you know, those yard work things, you know, where, you know, you drive by a flower bed and you see weeds in it of a widow who's there who can't get out there and weed her flowers in her garden, right, in her flower bed. And it just calls you. It calls you. You're like, I need to get out there and weed those flowers. And you just stop. You have to stop. It compels you. There's something within you. And you get out there and you're in her flower. She's out there. You're out there. You don't ask her permission. She just looks up and you're in her flower bed. You know, you're just weeding, right? I mean, you know, there's some of you that have different gifts, and it's just something that it's what I was made for. It's what I do. For some of you, it's meals. It's where you hear about the woman who has had a baby and needs help preparing meals for that newborn. And you hear that there's some women in the church that have given her meals, and you say, well, what did you bring her? And you hear that they say, well, I did the drive. I went through a drive-by and I got her something and took it to her. And you're thinking, drive-by, huh? Drive-by. You went through the drive-through window thing, kind of, and took her something through a drive-through window and took. Okay. And then you say, well, this is my calling. This is my calling. And you say, okay, I'm going to Pinterest right now. And I'm going to have monogrammed napkins, and I'm going to have matching colored cups. You know, I'm going to have chevron straws, and I got mints coming, and I've got this meal. It's going to be gourmet. You're working and you're gifting in the area of asparagus and alfalfa sprouts and a shank of lamb. It's gourmet, y'all. I mean, you take it to her and you say, and with a smile on your face, it's what I do. This is my gift. This is my calling. And you say, just keep the pots. They're yours. They're yours. I mean, I'm just trying to say there's a calling that each one of us does, that you say, I love this. I was made for this. You know, maybe some of you aspire to be a police officer or a fireman. And, you know, like myself, one time we had an accident out here in front of the church. And, you know, I went across the street. You know, I'm a first responder, you know. I'm a wannabe fireman. I'm a wannabe police. I'm a wannabe ambulance driver, you know. And I come out there and the person, you know, they were unconscious at the wheel. And I said, well, you know, I'm Chaplain Hobbs, I'm here to respond. Don't worry, I got this. You know, I got this. You know, you get out there, you're directing traffic. The police aren't there yet, but you're there. You're ready. Wait, you've got a situation. But you got the situation because you're made for this, right? Right? And you get on the phone you get the person's phone, and you're talking to their mother who's concerned, and you say, it's okay, I'm with them, and the medics are coming. I'm here. Come on, there's a calling for this, right? I'm not making any sense here this morning. What I'm trying to say is each one of us have a specific calling that God has called us for. And God has a specific divine to do for you. What I'm saying is, God doesn't want you to be a Secret Service believer. This is what we are to be as a church, everybody. This is what we should be excited about, right? Whatever that looks like for you, it's a secret. It's not just a secret. It's something that you're compelled to do. You're compelled to do. You got to do it. You got to do it. I mean, I've seen it in action here. I've seen it in action. I've seen where a group of leaders from this church went through, was going down the highway together, and we stopped at a welcome center. And what did we find at the welcome center? We found a guitar laying up against the wall with a sign and said, play it if you like. You know, it's here for you to enjoy and entertain the people coming in. So what happened? We have our main guitar man. Come on, Steve Guptill steps up and says, "There's a guitar. It's got my name on it. It's got my name on it. I'm playing this guitar." And we picked that up. Some of y'all weren't there. You don't know what I'm talking about. It's literally happened. And we're like, you know, I mean, he's playing the guitar. We're gathered around. We're singing Christian songs. The people behind the counter in the Welcome Center are smiling and singing. Guests are coming in. They're hearing about the love of Jesus. Somebody else picks up a phone. They record the event. It gets put on, come on the internet. It's going around the world. Come on, somebody responds to that, right? The response to it, they saw me going like this, and somebody said, "Who's the old guy?" That's actually what that literally happened. But anyway, I don't know who they're talking about. But I want to give you four thoughts today. This is going to be real simple today, but I want to give you four thoughts about how we do this thing called good deeds. Write this down. My good deeds are pointers to God, not myself. My good deeds are pointers to God, not myself. Let me give you a scripture for it. It's Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. It's to be seen. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see," it's not hidden, "they may see your good deeds." So they want to see, you want them to see you. You want them to see what you're doing. You want them to see what's happening. They see your good deeds, but then they glorify your Father in heaven. So they see your good deeds. And then it points them to God. Our prayer is, God, may our hands always be open, willing to help someone, but then may our hands always be the hands that then point them to you. We sing a song around here. It's called "We Are." You know, we are, we are, we are His hands and feet. I want to be His hands and feet. Come on, we are moving to the rhythm of your heartbeat, right? That's why I'm not on the praise team. But anyway. And what is the heartbeat of God? The heartbeat of God is others. It's others. It's others. It's others. If you want to have a life of significance and meaning and purpose and be fulfilled and be full of joy, you need to have your life be about others. Some of you just need to take this afternoon and go to the hospital and walk down the hospital and see the people that are hurting and in need. You'll find out you're not so bad after all. You'll find out that you're blessed and that you got it better than they do and you have something to give to them. It may be a visit. It may be a phone call. It may be a card. It may be a meal. Come on, but it's something where you're taking what God has blessed you with and saying, I want to make a difference. You're pointing people to God. It's in our name, Cross Point. We're going to point people to the cross. We're going to point people to Jesus, but we do that through our good deeds. Amen? Number two, write this down. My good deeds are samples of Jesus Christ. Think about this. My good deeds are samples of Jesus Christ. If we are to be His hands and His feet, we're the only Jesus that many people will see in the flesh. Now, we're not Jesus. We know that. But yet it's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside through our hands and our feet. It's Jesus that lives on the inside. It's Him that's shining out. We are the lighthouse, okay? But we're nothing without the light that's within the house, right? It's the light within us that gives us purpose and meaning and makes a difference because it's shining out into the darkness to other people, right? Does this make sense? So, but as we represent Him, as we hold Him up to this world, our good deeds are samples of Jesus Christ. Think about it. Samples. For some of you, it's the only reason you go to the Southern Christmas show here in Charlotte at the Merchandise Mart is samples, free samples. I just want to get to that thing that makes all those different flavors of coffee and taste them, raspberry coffee and stuff I never get, you know. Now some of you like you want to get the thing where you dip it in the... I'm not too crazy about the dip thing, y'all. I don't know how many people dipped in that and who... Somebody might have taken their finger and I don't know, you know, but You know, you just love those samples. Going in the grocery store, and they say this. They say, hey, there's a table set up there. And you say, oh, okay, well, would you like a sample? Yes, please. And you take a sample. And then you taste it, and they put something on that thing, and you taste it, and it's so good. And, oh, it's so good. And they say, that's good. Well, Rip, do you like that? Well, on aisle three, about halfway down, you can have a larger portion of that you can buy and take home today and enjoy. Well, guess what? We are just a small sample, and we're going to point to the one that's got way more than we've got and say, you can take him home with you today. Come on. We're a sample of Jesus, right? Amen. God's called us to be that. And the Bible actually says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Right? Oh, taste. And if we could just get people to taste. But how do they taste? They taste Him through our good deeds, through what God's called us to do. We are a sample of Jesus. And how do we do it? So today, you've been given something. It's an act of kindness card. All of you should have gotten one. If you didn't get one, see one of our ushers or at the end of the service, one of our greeters, and they'll make sure you get one of these. Okay? And more is coming. Next week, we hope to have more of these that you could take even more of these. But we're going to start you out with one, okay? It's an act of kindness card. It's something, it says, something extra to show you God loves you. During this season, when everybody's, you know, clamoring at the mall and trying to get in line and aggravated through traffic and weather and all that, you're the guy, you're and the girl that comes up and come on, and you're that beacon of light that shows up and does something kind for somebody. You're that person that goes through that drive-through and says, hey, how about take this, let me pay for the meal behind me. Come on, the person in the window already knows the amount. They've already ordered it. Come on, you're going to pay for it before they go through it. And when they come up here, would you just hand them this card as they come through and say the person's already paid for this and they wanted you to have this. But see, what this does is it points them to God, and it also does something else. It points them to the church and where they can connect. We're going to cover that. But let me give you a scripture. It's found in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says how God anointed Jesus... How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with Him. And this was the mission of Jesus. He went around doing good. But He was, listen, when He did good, then He sat down and taught them, right? He began to minister to them. He had access into their life because He first met their needs. He met them at the point of their need, and He began to minister to them. So our good deeds are a sample of Jesus Christ. Write this one down. Number three, my good deeds will go the extra mile to show God's love. My good deeds will go the extra mile to show God's love. Matthew 5:41 says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. And that day a Roman soldier could come and have you to take so many steps and carry his stuff for him. But you have to turn around and say, no, I'll go 2,000 steps. I need the steps on my app anyway. You know, I need to get my steps in, right? Okay. But go the extra mile. Do double what someone asks you to do. And it points them to Jesus. You take a card like this, an act of kindness card. It points them to God, but it also points them to people. You take care of their needs. And so you're in line. We actually had one of our dream teamers here this happened where there was standing in a situation or line and somebody didn't have enough money and was able to bless that person and make a difference. Come on for Christ. But I would encourage you, take something like this and tether it back to God and to the church and to the house of God and to the people of God. Right? Our head should be on a swivel, come on, looking for opportunities, looking for and praying for divine appointments, right? Where is the to-do list for me today, God? What have you called me to do? Where can I make a difference? And can I just tell you this? This is when your season, the season of Christmas, will go from being anxious and full of, you know, all this anxiety and stress to really having fulfillment and purpose and joy and joy. In fact, Jesus said that when he talked about loving one another, he said the reason I'm telling you to do this is so that your joy will be full, right? Instead of hating one another and being mad at this one and that one and that one's got an, can I tell you that God loved you and me when we were the lowest of sinners? I was reminding my family of this last night because all of us can think of people that aggravate us and get on our nerves and agitate us and even make us mad and angry. Come on, let's be honest. But did you know, I reminded our family last night, we were driving in from out of town from vacation, and I said, you know, Jesus loves every one of them, and just like he loves us. He loved the ones that were nailing his hands to the cross. He loved them and said, Father, forgive them. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, we can't do that in and of ourselves, but the Jesus on the inside can do that, right? Jesus, and we allow Jesus to be who he is in us and through us. I'm telling you, the result of it is joy. The result of it is peace. Come on. And can I just say, it's fun. It's fun. That's when church becomes fun. I mean, sometimes just sitting, soaking, and souring in a worship service in and of itself, if that's all we do, come and warm a seat, That only goes so far. I mean, yeah, we can receive and we can enjoy, but there's more joy when you get out the walls, outside, ministering to somebody, making a difference to your coworker, come on, to your neighbor, making a difference in somebody's life. That's when this thing turns around and actually becomes fun. Write this down, if you would, just somewhere. It's not a point. It's just a statement I want to make. To engage in taking care of someone's needs, but not point them to Christ, would be like giving someone a piece of heaven without showing them how to get there. That would be cruel. I'll leave that up there for a minute. Think about that. Write that down. Give you a chance to get that written down. How true is that? We actually said that in a statement within this series, that social justice without spiritual justice is not justice at all. It's not enough just to help people and end there. Come on, we want to give people an eternal hope. We want to give people a real reason to get up in the morning. We want to give them an everlasting joy that's found through Jesus Christ. It's cruel just to meet their needs and walk away. You know, you got $1 million in your pocket and you gave them a penny and you just walked away. You know? And you could, and you leave them there still. That's a dead end road. But when you give them life through Jesus Christ, write this down. Point number four: my good deeds will glorify God through His church. That's why we do what we do together. That's why we have this thing called Serve Day here at Crosspoint. We join forces and we know that together that we can do more. It's why that we have this attitude of being aware of what is going on around us and connecting to people, connecting them to the church, tethering it back to God's plan. We connect it to God, but we also connect it to the church, and we give all the credit, all the glory to God. Everything we do, whether it's picking up trash here in our community, whether it's handing out water bottles on a trail, whether it's going to the Ronald McDonald House where we're serving mothers who have their newborn infants in ICU hanging on to life, the countless ways I can think of how we've went and helped people in their homes. We've been to nursing homes and minister to those that are in need there, and all the different ways that we're looking and responding, ministering to students across the street. We give them the ministry of ice cream. There's no greater ministry than the ministry of ice cream. Come on, y'all. Laugh with me a little bit, all right? It's this joyous thing. It doesn't have to be a burden to help people. It's a joy to minister to people, to make a difference. then connect them to a church where they can grow, where they can be strengthened in their faith and in their walk with the Lord. Let me give you this scripture. It's found in Acts chapter 4, verse 32. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. Talking about this early church, which we should be modeling after. No one claimed that any part of their possession was their own, but they shared everything they had. They did life together. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerful at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. Oh, God, grant that to be the case here. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales. Verse 35. Now they were radical and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was all distributed to anyone who had need. Now they were extremists, y'all. They were radically sold out to Jesus, but they were also committed to one another. Now I'm not trying to tell you that we got to go sell our houses and bring all the money and bring it in. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, we need to care about one another. Care about the needs of one another. Be concerned enough and say, well, I don't have a lot of money, Pastor. You don't understand. Well, then what do you have? What do you have? What is in your hand? It may be 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but put it in God's hands. What is it that God has given you? It may be a phone call. It may be a text. It may be a tweet. It may be a Facebook share and post. It may be a letter in the snail mail or whatever it is, however you want to do it. Whatever it is. Listen, it doesn't. Little is much when God is in it. But take what we have, leverage that thing, let God's hand be upon it. It may be insignificant in your hands, but it's not in the hands of God. Don't underestimate what God can do in you and through you in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. The point really that we see with what God has given us, and see, God's blessed us. God in His He is the source of all things, and He has blessed us. And He'll bless you and give you everything that you have need of. But His message is that He loves people. He loves people. He loves others. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us. But then He blesses us and loves on us so that we can join with Him in loving others. Think about it. It's so awesome. So beautiful. He's going to bless us, and I believe He wants to bless us with more than we need so that we can be a blessing to others and make a difference in somebody else's life so that they can be blessed with more than they need so that they can be a blessing in the lives of some, and so on and so forth. That's what God's called us to be and what God's called us to do. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I was to think about this simple message today of how God's made us rich in good deeds. He's made us rich in good deeds. He's given us that ability to be rich in good deeds. And how are we rich? We're rich because we've received His love. Can I just say to somebody today, God loves you. And I don't care how difficult yesterday was. And how daunting and looming tomorrow looks ahead of you. There's a God that loves you more than anything because He gave everything for you. And all He asks is that you receive His love. Some of us here today just need to receive God's love in the midst of it all. There's more to this life than the abundance of things. There's an eternal God with an eternal plan who's come with a redemption plan to lift you up, to heal you on the inside, to restore you on the inside, to put stuff on the inside of you so you can make a difference on the outside. The lives of others. Today, there's many of you that may just need to receive God's love. I want to simply pray a prayer with you today and invite God's love, where you would just invite God's love inside to change you. Some of you need your hearts healed. Some of us need our minds healed. Come on. Some of us need emotional healing. And it's available right this moment. If you need to pray a prayer, just surrender. Saying, God, I just want to recommit. Or maybe it's commit for the first time, but just say, God, I just want to give it to you. I need you in my life. I need your love in my life. I want to pray a prayer. If that's you, would you just slip up a hand right now? Just slip up a hand. Say, hey, when you pray, Pastor, would you count me in that? Yes, yes, yes. Good job. Good job. Thank you. Yes, I see your hand. Yes. If you're watching online, I invite you to join me. Can I just help you with the words, but all you got to do is mean it? Come on, pray something like this. Thank you, God, for loving me. I invite you to come in. Come into my heart today. Come in to stay. Heal me. Forgive me for going my way and allowing other things to take your place. I want you to be first place. Be first in my life. Thank you for loving me. And I declare my love back to you by accepting you into my life, surrendering everything to you. I declare you as my Lord and my Savior. Today I give you my life. Thank you, God, for giving me yours. In Jesus' name. God, I thank you for every person who invited you to come in, the inside. Today, in this very moment, God, this very moment, all things are new. All things are new. Now, Lord, I pray, breathe into them hope. Breathe into them healing. Lord, breathe into them, I pray, this day, your life. Oh, God, it's happened even now. I thank you for that. We receive by faith your love and life everlasting in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for each one of us today. God, Lord, you would, if there's something misaligned on the inside, God, you'd realign it. God, you'd heal us. Remove bitterness or hate or anger or whatever frustrations, God, we have and tend to have, especially in this season. God, restore to us our first love. And God, fill us anew and afresh, God, that we may, God, be so filled with you, God, that others will see you. We'll bring honor and glory to your name, and we'll see people come to Christ through what you called us to do, through whatever our to-do list is, Lord. God, you're going to help them see Jesus through us. God, for all that, we're giving you all the praise, all the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.